Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena Kirsten, how are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
It's excellent, excellent. It is a bit of a mood at the moment. I think we're going to bring the mood up into hopefully quite a cheerful space today, though, because what have you brought us today?
Well, I wanted to do happy songs. I didn't realize we'd still need them. Yeah, because, you know, music, as we know, you know, because I sort of, you know, tear it apart and investigate it. But as we know, you know, we just like it and it makes us feel good. And regardless of the notes and the genre and or whether our artists are doing really awful things in their real life, you know, all sorts of things, that it has the power to sort of uplift us. And I know, you know, scientists have actually tried to sort of analyze it, I guess, because, you know, people want to find the perfect pop song. And yeah, sure, lyrics, you know, that directly, you know, mention happiness or being joyful. They've tried to study things like tempo and, you know, the meter and the pace or a catchy melody, but there really is no secret. I mean, some of it's just what nostalgia, you know, if you enjoyed yourself or your father liked this song or you had a great time at a concert. So this next one, this first one we're going to play, so I went and looked at heaps of people's lists for the happiest songs.
I was going to say, how did you quantify these joyful songs? Because it's so subjective, but, you know, you've picked some that I think a lot of people would argue, yeah, that is a pretty joyful song. Did you have to look at some quantitative surveys or something?
Yeah, so I looked at a whole bunch because, you know, these aren't my picks at all. Although this first one, I don't know if it'd still be in my top 10, but I find it joyful. So we're going to, this first one is I Will Survive. And this is interesting because it's...
What an intro.
It's coming out of struggle. You know, it's just not just happiness. It's you were unhappy and you're, you know, you've got resilience.
I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong and I grew strong and I learned how to get along and so you're back.
I mean, when the disco bit kicks in, it's such a tune, eh?
It's so good.
There's something about songs as well that I think people have really many associations with that kind of sit in that space too. Like, this has been used in how many movies, how many soundtracks to things, how many karaoke nights. It's a big tune.
Well, and that's because they've done their research and they realize this makes people happy. But it does have an amazing history of why it makes people happy. I mean, she's a gospel singer, Gloria, so, like, she brings that sort of spiritual inner joy and belief that life is good in her singing. And also, it was so important for the queer community and disco. And that, you know, while the music wasn't overtly political, you know, the queer clubs were a space where queer people could be themselves, dress themselves, express their gender the way they wanted. There's also an academic reading I did about handbags, about how girls put their handbags in the center and dance around them in a circle, you know, to sort of guard their bags, but with their back out to everyone and just sort of protecting themselves, you know,
because
sometimes being out at night can be a dangerous space. And you know, there's like, you know, guys saying, once the sun comes on, you're not going home with any girl, you know, because it empowers them.
I think when I was a kid, my friend and I made a little dance to this.
Strong.
Performed it
very, very strong, Zoe.
A huge flashback.
I would like to know from listeners what songs make them feel joyful. Please text them in on 5395. Also text in your hot takes as well. If these songs don't spark joy, I'd like to know why that is. This one, I think, it's hard not to love this song. It's such a tune.
Yeah, it does make you want to physically move, or it does with me.
Oh, yeah, we're grooving in here, yep.
Oh, I wish I was there. And I was reading some analyses of it, you know, again, people trying to figure out why, that compared to a lot of disco, it's actually quite a sparse song. You know, there's not a lot of electric beat boops going on. It's not as full and lush as some. It's more focused on the story, the narrative.
Yeah. So this is one of those songs.
It brings out
Oh, no, you go, Kirsten.
I was going to say, it brings out your inner drag queen.
I was going to say, this is one of those songs where, I mean, the music is uplifting and joyful, but the lyrics as well, they do pair with that. Not all of the songs that I guess you could say are joyful songs have that. It's something maybe about the magic of the music itself that makes you feel good. Because a lot of really kind of bleak songs can make you feel really uplifted too sometimes.
I agree. Catharsis. And I think that's what makes this song special, because it does acknowledge, you know, the down and the sadness.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of the lists that I looked at seemed pretty weak. Like, they just look with songs with happy or smile in the title.
Gross.
Yeah.
Someone says, I Feel Loved by Donna Summer would be their sort of pick from this kind of genre.
Oof, that one makes me feel awkward listening to it in public.
We've also got a disco classic, You Make Me Feel, someone says.
Oh yeah, Mighty Real, Sylvester.
Someone's outing themselves as a Coldplay fan here.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it. Whatever makes you happy, friend, whatever makes you happy.
And that's the other interesting thing about music is it's something we enjoy alone, but it's also something we enjoy in groups, you know, huge stadiums with, you know, 10,000 people. It you know, functions both ways really well.
One of my songs to, like, a happy song is Funky Town. That's one of my favorite songs of all time.
And I think, you know, you're so right, Kirsten, as well. It so depends on a person and a place and the kind of memories you have associated with it. The next song we're about to play has got a hilarious intro, so I think we should just
It's horrible. It's horrible, and I'm shocked you chose it.
Oh, this is contentious then. All right, I'm going to hit it.
Yes.
Hello, my dear friends. Well, here I am on record at last. And it feels so wonderful to be here with you on my first album.
What are we listening to, Kirsten?
So this is Tiny Tim, and the song's called Living in the Sunlight, Loving in the Moonlight.
I love it.
Me too.
Okay, see, it makes me feel manic.
I mean, there is an element of that. I mean, I defy anyone not to be dancing to this right now.
I think this makes me happier than I will survive.
Well, see, that's what shows it's subjective. So it came out in 1968, and his career was mostly in gay clubs and on comedy shows, and he was a ukulele player. Now, some people may know it because it was used in SpongeBob in 2008.
I do also have that cultural reference point in my brain, I have to say.
And that makes people happy, too.
SpongeBob rules. I think this is a song that probably hits that nostalgia button for a lot of people, maybe, because I have, like, so many memories around this particular track, not just from SpongeBob, but, you know.
Yeah, sure.
I think people love something that's just silly and joyful and not trying to be anything cleverer than it is.
And it had a long life. Like, it was written in the 30s. It was released by Bing Crosby. You know, and then he released it in 68. So, like, it's lasted, you know.
I didn't realize it was that old.
Yeah.
It's hard not to laugh with Tiny Tim.
If this came on, like, late at night at a party, I would be in my element.
It's really hard not to sing along.
This is not me. You guys didn't choose Bill Withers' Lovely Day.
Do you know we almost chose that, and we swapped it out for Tiny Tim
at the last
minute.
Many
rivers to cross. You know, all the great choices I gave you.
I mean, you gave us a lot of really good choices, but you also put Tiny Tim on the list, and we're not going to go past Tiny Tim, an excuse to play it on the radio, I have to say.
It was on a lot of lists. Now, this one, I think, is amazing because it's so ironic. You know, here's The Cure. And this was on a lot of people's lists as being one of their happy songs.
I mean, it's almost bigger than The Cure itself, you know. It's got a life of its own, this track. And I think you're right, it's kind of moved beyond its ironic space, and it's just a joyful track now, even though it's quite bleak in some ways.
And who doesn't love a Friday? I mean...
I don't care about you. I'm in
This is a real road trip song for me.
Oh, nice.
Actually, quite a lot of Cure songs are road trip songs for me. We're getting some more texts in from people as well. Some other people... Someone else is not enjoying Tiny Tim on the text machine here. Some people are loving it, though. Someone says Young, Wild and Free is a good track for them. The Beat Goes On. Strawberry Letter 23. Stomp and Boogie Fever.
See, they're disco. These are disco bunnies out there.
Lots of disco tracks today.
This was a huge hit. This was a huge hit for them, and maybe didn't represent, you know, introduce a lot of people to The Cure. But in interviews, he's assured people that this was song was just when he was a little happier. He's still miserable overall, and he still has a inner core of despair.
Good
so
on
just
you,
in
Robert.
Case you're worried.
Oh, we're getting a lot of texts from Cure fans. Someone says Love Cats is far more joyful in their opinion. Just Like Heaven is another uplifting Cure song. Always gets me out of my chair. Agreed. Agreed with you, texter.
But how funny that this was on any list at all. You know, you take a look at the band if you don't know them. You know, ultimate goth looking.
Come on, Zoe, sing along. I can see you mouthing along in the studio.
I'm
let it out.
I'm not going to sing. People don't want to hear me over The Cure.
This is a song that I think has become another track that's been widely used in film and television for its kind of touchstone. I mean, it's a real needle drop moment if you put it in a film that's set in a particular time and space.
Yeah,
it really
totally.
Helps paint that picture, but it's also transcended that as well. People still go to it as like a contemporary classic.
Yeah, I mean, it's 1992, so it's old. But I think the going through the days of the week does give it that sort of working class feel, you know, that this is someone who works and that, you know, on the weekend they're going to, you know, in your rom-com, they're going to go out with their friends or, you know, go on their dates.
This is the bit when the credits are rolling right at the end. So there's no exact science to a joyful track. That's the TLDR of this. Anything can make somebody happy, but there does seem to be some consensus on songs that uplift us. Science isn't quite discovered why, though.
They keep trying to find it, the amount of academic papers trying to figure it out. And of course, you know, Sony and BMG and all those big guys would love to know too.
Oh yeah.
But it's, you know, it's very culturally located. Mm-hmm. And they'll never find it out because it is connected to your own experiences.
Someone says Jamie XX, Loud Places. I agree. And that's also one of those songs that's like actually kind of sad, but uplifting. That was a big one for me when I was about 19. Got me through some angst.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Tunes. Thanks for bringing us some joyful tracks today. I think we all needed that on a lockdown Friday. Kirsten, what are we going to be talking about next week?
The lap steel guitar.
Ooh, okay, exciting. We will see you then.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
Thank you very much.